That would help. Father, I pray for the Holy Spirit to be here today to take these words and use them to inspire, to strengthen, and to encourage us on. B'shem Yeshua. I have a couple of updates first, which will be followed by a shortened message. A lot of people have asked me over the last couple of months what's been going on. Most of you are aware that almost 2 months ago, Sharon and I came home and found a rainstorm in our townhouse. That was Tuesday, August 8th. Since that time, we've been camping out and in the basement of our daughter Sarah and her family, two of our grandkids, and it's been really good. A little tight, but really good. What happened was the supply line to an upstairs toilet failed just after we left for work. And when we got home that evening, the damage was done because it had been pouring, you know, a pipe full of water constantly for about 10 hours. It's been an interesting ride. Most of our stuff was either destroyed or is now in storage. Our home is being rebuilt. I thought about putting some pictures up on there, but I really didn't want to play into the whole really nasty things that goes on this time of year. I mean, it would have fit right in there. Could have been a house of horrors. So if you really want to see it, I do have my camera here. I can show you a little bit. And the rebuilding has been started. We actually have insulation up now. Yay. Some things we know were destroyed. Almost all of our books, our vinyl records. Other things that were salvaged is most of the kitchen stuff. Some of the furniture, our artwork and mirrors, and thank God, almost all of the musical instruments. The rest, well, we really don't know. We'll find out when we move back. Hopefully somewhere around the first or second week of November. And if that's not enough, 2 weeks ago, Sharon learned that the contract company she works for, and I had worked for 10 years prior to that, lost the contract. She and 25 of her co-workers were being laid off as of this coming Monday. The new company interviewed everybody. She has been offered a position, praise God. So it's not a step up, but it's kind of a lateral move. And, you know, praise God, everything will stay on there. So that's where we are personally and will be for the next month or so. Update number two. And this actually ties a little bit in with some of the words that were given about watching and about praying, about repenting, about the basics, the foundations. One of the foundational things that we have is unity as a body, and not just Ohev, and not just Tikkun, and not just the Messianic movement, but the body of Messiah at large. And this is something that I want you guys to be praying about. It's coming up very quickly, and it's a very good thing, in my opinion. I need to give you a bit of history. Back in the early 1990s, we were living in Michigan, and my best friend from high school phoned with an urgent request. He pastored a Reformed Church of America congregation in the Detroit area, and his congregation was having a seminar on the Holy Spirit. The musicians who were supposed to be there canceled. This is about a month beforehand. So he asked, could Sharon and I fill in for them for this one weekend, Friday through Sunday only? We prayed about it, talked to our pastor, and said yes. And we went. I was expecting very little. These are Presbyterians that were holding this thing, after all. What do they know about the Holy Spirit? I was blown away and had to repent. I did, really. These guys were biblical. They were in tune with the Spirit. And they had real solid teaching on the move of the Holy Spirit. So for the next several years, Sharon and I went on probably a dozen more of these weekend seminars to support what they were doing. Presbyterian churches, Reformed churches, Congregational churches, everywhere from Michigan down to Texas, we went. When we moved out here in 98, I lost contact with them. That changed about 5 years ago when I was online and saw that they were having a Dunamis seminar in Richmond. So I went. The Dunamis is a half-week series of intense teaching and workshop time to put into practice what you've learned. And what they were teaching fit very well with what Dan Jester has taught at the Tikkun conferences and training seminars. So about 2.5 years ago, I felt led to contact their leader, the Dan Jester equivalent in their organization, Reverend Bradford Long, about coming to a Tikkun conference. Everything was set until about 2 weeks before the 2012 conference. Reverend Long had some kind of family situation come up he had to cancel. This year's conference, the 2013 conference, he was scheduled to be ministering in Taiwan. So the PRMI staff chose two replacements, Gary Wabenga from Michigan, who is the PRMI go-to person. He does follow-up for all of the stuff that Brad gets into. We could use one for Dan, I think, as well. And Reverend Doug McMurray, who was from Richmond. He co-authored much of the PRMI training materials with Reverend Long. While all this was going on, I gave a book called Receiving the Power, written by Long and McMurray, to Ben Jester to pass on to his dad. Both were impressed with the combination of biblical scholarship and Holy Spirit-led instruction. Hello. And meanwhile, back at the ranch, some years earlier, Reverend McMurray, or Doug, had been given a copy of Your People Shall Be My People, written by Don Finto. We all know Don. Just before Gary Wabenga called him to tell him PRMI was sending him to the Tikkun conference, his wife Carla comes across the book and says he needs to read it now. He hadn't read it, just sitting on his bookshelf. So he starts reading it and then gets a phone call sending him to a conference where the author was one of the speakers. Who'd have thunk it? At the conference, I introduced Doug, Carla, and Gary to some of you and to the Tikkun leadership. They were very impressed with our conference and with the conversations they had with Dan and Ben, so much so that they invited us, Tikkun, to come and speak at a pre-Dunamis half-day session at their home office in Black Mountain, North Carolina. That is coming up this Tuesday. Schedules being what they are, Ben was not sure he could be there. With the housing situation, I can't be there. So Ben, Gary, Doug had a conference call, and Ben told them that he could make it for only that day and that David J. Rudolph would be with him, Michael's son. Can you think of anybody better to teach on Messianic Judaism than David Rudolph? I can't. And then Doug pipes up. You'll never guess who I just had lunch with. David Rudolph. God seems to be taking him one step along with it in this whole thing. This is a following email sent out to the whole worldwide PRMI database. Dear PRMI friend, and it did not print. That's really amazing. The whole thing did not print, other than the last line, explaining what the whole thing is, saying that Ben Juster and David Rudolph would be teaching on the current move of the Holy Spirit in the Messianic movement, how PRMI could partner with us, and how we could partner with PRMI in bringing evangelism to the world, to the Jewish world, to the Arab world, to come against the spirit of Islam, and an explanation of what Towards Jerusalem Council 2 is, reestablishing the link between the Messianic body of believers and the Gentile church, which is absolutely necessary. Gary did not expect a lot of interest, so he ended up telling everyone in the PRMI office to just register, call up, and instead of using the website. Last week, the office manager called him and said, "Never do that again." Her phone was ringing off the hook. There was actually quite a bit of interest. In a follow-up email, Gary wrote this: "Dear friends, please pray about these events, and please join with us for any part or all of this series of events. May the Lord's kingdom come. May his gospel advance to the ends of the earth. Please pray for Ben Juster and David Rudolph as they make this important step, linking us with the larger body of Messiah in a real, functional way. Like I said, that happens this coming Tuesday. They will be speaking on the historical context of Messianic Judaism, Jewish life and calling, Jewish-Christian dialogue, how Messianic Judaism is advancing the kingdom, and what a Tikkun PRMI partnership may look like. I know that this has been Dan Juster's heart for a long time. It should be ours as well." And that brings me to the actual message: the unity of believers. That the world may know. Please repeat that phrase with me. That the world may know. We are in a covenant with the Lord. The new covenant, right? Our brothers in the regular church world are also in a covenant with the Lord. Again, it's the same new covenant, which means that they are not only in covenant with the Lord, we are in covenant with those brothers as well. We're covenanted to the Lord. They're covenanted to the Lord. That means we're covenanted to each other. The Lord wants us to walk together, and he wants us to love one another. Amen? Amen. John 13:34 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you love one another." Now, what was the old commandment that he said this was a new commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself? Still valid, but he steps it up a notch. Love one another as I have loved you, in a very sacrificial, self-giving way. That's even a step above love your neighbor as yourself. But why does the Lord want us to love each other and walk together? Why? Our Lord tells us in his high priestly prayer recorded in John 17. He prayed this, John 17:20-23. "I do not ask for these only, but for those who will believe in me through their word." That's us. We believe. We have their word, which is written in the Bible. That's us. We believe through their word. "That they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know. Say it with me. That the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you love me. Three times, that they may be one. Why? So that the world may know. They're looking to us. They can't see the Lord. They don't understand the Bible. They're looking to us. They see us. When we walk together, even if we have doctrinal differences, even if we have practice differences, when we walk together, we show them the unity that God wants, that He has. And it's possible. He wouldn't have prayed it if it wasn't possible. If anybody can get his prayers answered, it's our Lord, right? That the world may know. It's not the only reason, but it's reason enough. In his final instructions to the disciples before leaving, our Lord told them, and through them, he told us, to be witnesses of the good news, to take the gospel of what he did to the whole world with signs and wonders, like healing the sick, casting out demons, and he told us to make disciples that would observe his commandments. You know the passages. End of Matthew, end of Mark, first chapter of Acts. In the 1977 conference on the charismatic renewal in the Christian churches, in one of the general sessions, there was a prophecy. This was right near the end of the conference, where God said how much he wanted to impact the world, but his body was divided. Now, I don't know if the book that I have survived or not. I tend to think it probably did not. But if you want full text of the thing, which I would have loved to have given you today, but it's in David Manuel's book, Like a Mighty River. You can find it on Amazon. He wanted to do all kinds of things, but my body was divided. We cannot go on as a divided body. A body divided against itself will not stand, right? We need to walk in unity. In addition to our Lord's words in John 17, Paul also exhorts us to pursue unity. Ephesians, this is from Ephesians 4, verse 1. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called for one hope in your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. And skipping down to verse 11, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to build up the body of Messiah. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, the mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Messiah. The scriptures are clear. We need to pursue unity with our fellow believers. And it says what? We maintain the unity of the Spirit until we attain the unity of the faith. We don't all see everything exactly the same, but we have the same Spirit. We're following the same Lord. We read the same Bible. We have that, and we can pursue that until God leads us all in to seeing everything and understanding the same. You weren't there yet, we're not there yet now. But when the Lord is, we will be. The scriptures are clear. We pursue unity with the fellow believers. What does the unity look like? Does it mean we're in lockstep in doctrine and practice? From what Paul wrote there, I would say no. That's not a necessary part of that unity. Do we all look alike, sound alike, and sound like little robots of each other? When the Bible talks about unity and being one, it almost always is talking about people that are different and putting them together. Unity is not uniformity. Man and woman become one flesh when they get married. Do they cease to be male and female? Do they? Jew and Gentile become one in the greater body of Messiah. Do they cease to be Jew or Gentile? No. Slaves and do slaves and masters cease to be slaves and masters, or, if you prefer, employers and employees in our culture? People still hire other people. God brings dichotomies together, not only for mutual blessing, but also to demonstrate himself to the world. Husband and wife are the picture of Messiah and his bride. Parents and children are a picture of the Heavenly Father and us. We are an epistle, a writing, a letter of God's love to be read by the world around us. And it's not just individuals, it's how we relate to each other. So what did our Lord have in mind? What did Paul have in mind when they said they wanted unity among the believers? What would have been understood by their audiences? In the first century BCE, which was, you know, 50, 60 years before our Lord and about a century before Paul, there were two men that you've probably heard about, Rabbis Shammai and Hillel. Excuse me. They could have not been more different in belief and practice, but they were best friends. They each started a school for training Pharisees in Jerusalem, but in order to make sure that they did not split the Jewish community, they had a rule that the students of the one school were supposed to marry the daughters of graduates of the other school. So they always kept connected, even though they had different teachings, different practices. And I believe that this was the example of unity that both our Lord and Rav Shaul grew up with. We may not see eye to eye, we may argue, but do we recognize that we are in covenant with God and each other, and thus we remain inseparable? Inseparable. It's not rejecting them because you don't see things the way I do. Yeah, I understand you don't see it, but you're my brother. You're my sister. I'm standing with you no matter what. Inseparable. That gets us back to the opening verse. But I will read on to the next verse as well. John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, that you are to love one another. Verse 35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And it was not too long after that that he said that the risen Lord told his followers this in Acts 1:8. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, that the world may know. Say it with me. That the world may know. Part of being a witness is living your life and relationship with the Lord before the people in your life, that the world may know. And it is walking in as much unity as possible with other believers and even those we may not agree with. As Paul said, being diligent to preserve the unity of spirit in the bond of peace until we attain to the unity of the faith, that the world may know. Which now brings us back to the upcoming meeting of Ben Juster and David Rudolph with the leaders and the people of PRMI. This is an opportunity for Jew and Gentile to work together to bring the gospel to a dying world. It is a chance for Jew and Gentile to work together to advance his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, even if it's only incrementally, that the world may know. Let's pray. Father, we have seen in your word that you want your believers to be one. Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to come upon us and make us one. And Father, not just us as families, not just us as congregations, but your whole people across this globe, Lord. Father, may the Messianic Jews and the Presbyterians come together this week, Lord, in unity to advance your kingdom, to bring your gospel to the darkened places and hearts and minds of those who are not yet in your kingdom. Father, that the world may know, make us one. B'shem Yeshua.